As we've been going through this series here in 2021 that was inspired by the song He Is, that just goes through each book of the Bible and speaks of Jesus in each one of those books. And of course, others have looked at it that way for the song that we use as an inspiration. When we come to Lamentations, he's the cry for Israel. And certainly as we read through Lamentations, you see the author just crying for what has happened to the people of Israel, and especially to the city of Jerusalem and Solomon's temple that once stood there. Ancient tradition connects Lamentations with the prophet Jeremiah, but the book itself doesn't identify its author. When you read through it, though, those who study it a little closer maybe than I do and understand all that's going on, especially in the original Hebrew, which I know nothing about, they say much of the wording in various places in Lamentations very much follows along with what you read in Jeremiah, that same kind of phrases and those things. So that's why the ancient tradition connects that to Jeremiah. Now, as we think about laments, we can read throughout Psalms. There's a number of psalms that are laments unto themselves. Of course, there's praise psalms and all sorts of psalms, as we have all those chapters and psalms in that book. But here in Lamentations, it is only laments. And it is five of them that have been pulled together into this book. And it is a poetic structure. If we were to read the original Hebrew, we would see the use of the 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet in each of those laments, as in the laments 1, 2, and 4, and 5. My understanding, again, I don't know Hebrew. I'm relying on scholars who've written this down for me to know this. But each of those verses that we see, the 22 in each chapter of those four laments, 1, 2, 4, and 5, begin with that particular letter of the Hebrew alphabet. So it's very poetic in its structure, but it's very graphic if you read through that. And it is something that was going to happen. Jeremiah preached about it for 40 years. If I preach here for 40 years, I'm on my 16th year. We got a few more years to go yet. He preached the same message to the people of Israel for 40 plus years to say, if you don't get right with God because you've fallen away, judgment is coming. And judgment indeed did come. And it came as God sent the Babylonian armies. And we find the destruction of Solomon's temple. We find the destruction of Jerusalem. We find many of the Jewish people were taken to Babylon and in an exile for some 75, 80 years. There were those who were left, and it just was a wasteland in Jerusalem and surrounding community. And if you've ever had the opportunity to read Lamentations, you will find in graphic detail, in poetic form, but in graphic detail, the desolation that the author saw not only in Jerusalem and the ruins of the temple, but in the people themselves. All because of the judgment that came, because they were unwilling to turn towards God, to turn back to God. You know, in the last two verses of Lamentations, after the writer here, we're going to assume Jeremiah, after he's written all these laments, we get to those last two verses, and that next to last verse, he's pleading with God for restoration. But then he says in that very last verse, unless you are angry beyond measure. Well, thank God that he is not angry beyond measure. And we thank him that there is restoration possible. You know, it's easy for us to lament. Maybe we don't write in poems, at least I don't. Maybe some of you, that's how you lament. You write some poems, or some folks listen to country music, Linda. A lot of country music is lamenting, isn't it?
Sure, that's why I like it so much.
That's why you like it so much. She doesn't really. But we like to lament. It's sort of, we as humans, we just sort of liked it. We all too often commiserate with each other. And certainly in some aspects it's been easier to even lament in these last 15 months with all that's happened in the pandemic. in various pockets of our lives and in society and around the world. And perhaps we had similar reactions to God as we read these reactions in Lamentations. We find the author describing what he sees. We see Jeremiah concerned at why it got to this place, and even speaks out to God and asks questions. You know, it's okay to ask him, "Lord, why is this happening?" Well, Jeremiah knew why, but he was still, "Lord, this hurts. I hate to see the ruins of Jerusalem and the temple and the impact that has had on my people, your people." Anybody, America's Got Talent fans? There's one hand, anyway. Two hands. Yeah, somebody says. Well, in my house, I guess I'm a DVR fan of America's Got Talent. I let it record, because that two-hour program, you can watch it in about 40 minutes if you go through all the other stuff, okay? And so I watched this last week's, yesterday morning, as I was running a little late this week, getting things to Dan and Joanne, and so as I was figuring out my actual scripture text for today and getting the songs picked out that would go with the message, I was watching America's Got Talent. And for those of you who may not know, there's a time during the audition times that each of the judges, each week, one of the judges is allowed to hit the golden buzzer. And that person goes straight to the live show. They skip all the rest of the audition levels. And Simon Cowell had that. He's one of the main producers and originators of that. Britain's Got Talent and all these other countries as well. But a young lady sang a song that she wrote, simply entitled, "It's Okay." She goes by the stage name of Nightbird. And she said, "You know, you can't wait until life isn't hard anymore before you decide to be happy." She'd been dealing with cancer for the last couple, 3 years. Hadn't been able to work. They gave her a 2% chance or 3 months to live. But she decided, "I'm just going to keep my hope out there." When Howie, one of the other judges, told her that nobody would ever know she was dealing with cancer, she replied, "Thank you. It's important that everyone knows that I'm so much more than the bad things that happen to me." Isn't that something? We're all so much more than the bad things that happen to us. In the middle of the book of Lamentations, in the middle of the third lament, we find words of hope. So would you please stand as we honor the reading of God's word. "I remember my affliction and my wandering, the bitterness and the gall. I will remember them, and my soul is downcast within me. Yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion, therefore I will wait for him. The Lord is good to those whose hope is in him, to the one who seeks him. It is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord." The word of God for the people of God. William Smitty, I forgot to check about the New Testament, but William's one of my books in my bookcase there in my office. William Smitty put together 300 sermon outlines from the Old Testament. Now, I don't grab all my outlines from his book, but it's sometimes when you have a little block or a little stumbling when you're preparing, what did Smitty have to say? Oh, okay. But it just so happened that his outline for Lamentations chapter 3, verses 24 through 26, said, "This is what I need today. This speaks to me, and I hope it speaks to you as well." And so we're following his outline. Now, all he does is give an outline. You know, I got to fill in the rest to whoever's using this book. But we're looking at the soul today. And the first thing to think about is the soul's desire. And the first part of the 24th verse in the King James, it says, "The Lord is my portion, saith my soul." The Lord is my portion. John shared with us Psalm 23 last week. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Falls right in line here, doesn't it? The desire of our soul is that the Lord is our portion. St. Augustine of Hippo said, "For desire never ceases to pray, even though the tongue be silent. If ever desiring, then ever praying." If we're always desiring for that portion from God, if we're always desiring Him, then we find ourselves always in communication with Him, which we know as prayer. Always praying, always desiring. I like the way Bishop Jean-Pierre puts it. Desire to love God is to love to desire Him, and hence to love Him, for love is the root of all desire. That desire to love Him. What's the greatest commandment? To love the Lord your God with your very being. That desire. And a desire that's deeper than fried potatoes. I love fried potatoes. I haven't hardly found any that are bad. Some are better. Grandma's is probably the best, but Sherry's is really, really, really close. Maybe you're the best, honey. You might be the best. Maybe it's just my childhood memory and nostalgia, okay? But Sherry's does some pretty good fried potatoes. But fried potatoes in general are just good. I love them. I desire them. But we're talking about something way more. This love of God, this desire for God, my soul's desire to make God my portion, to make Him my shepherd, so I will not want anything else. Life will have all these other things, but with God first, with our desire after Him, He fills in all the rest of life. So we have to have this soul's desire. And as we have that desire, we should have expectancy. The last half of that same verse, verse 24, "Therefore will I hope in Him." My expectation is that He's going to supply what I need. My expectation is that because of my desire and my love for Him, He's going to reciprocate on His part of the relationship. You know what's really beautiful about that relationship? He reciprocates whether I do my part the right way all the time anyway. But there's an expectancy that my soul has of this relationship with God. I like the words that the 62nd Psalm shares with us in verses 5 through 8. "Yes, my soul, find rest in God. My hope comes from Him. Truly, He is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will not be shaken. My salvation and my honor depend on God. He is my mighty rock, my refuge. Trust in Him at all times, you people. Pour out your hearts to Him, for God is our refuge." Trust in Him at all times. Not just the bad times. We see a lot of people rushing to Him during the bad times. Somehow we think the good times is all on us. God is God of the bad and the good and everything in between. And we need to expect that as we desire and love Him, there's an expectancy in our souls that God is going to fill that hope and that promise that He indeed is our refuge. He's our fortress. He's our rock. He's our salvation. My salvation, in verse 7, just previous to this, my salvation and my honor depend on God and nothing else. Our soul ought to expect that, that we can truly depend on Him. Our soul also needs to be patient. Anybody have an issue with patience? Nobody wants to raise their hand on that one. If we were honest, there's quite a few in this room. This one right here at times. Verse 25 says, "The Lord is good unto them that wait for Him, to the soul that seeketh Him." Paul told the Galatians, "For through the Spirit we eagerly await by faith the righteousness for which we hope." Patience. To allow God's will to continue to work in our lives. How many of you prayed a prayer for patience? It goes something like this. Lord, grant me patience, and I need it right now. We need to wait upon Him. Allow our soul to say, okay, God, I'm in your hands. A lot of stuff going on around me, Lord. Some of it I don't like. Some of it's all right. Some of it's pretty good. But I'm going to wait on you. My soul's going to be patient with you. Letty Kalman, she put together some calendar devotions. This was July 26th of some year. I didn't catch the year that it was in. And I just took an excerpt. She wrote a couple paragraphs about patience. But she said, there is no patience so hard as that which endures, as seeing Him who is invisible. It is the waiting for hope. Thou hast made waiting beautiful. Thou hast made patience divine. Do you ever think of having patience as a divine attribute? Isn't God so patient with us? Wasn't God patient with the people of Israel? Jeremiah is lamenting over what happened, but he preached the message for 40 plus years. Sometimes we get a little, woo, look what God did in the Old Testament. Man, He just wiped them out. Sent them to Babylon, did this and did that. Read in between the lines, it was never an impulse decision by God. He was patient and patient and patient. And finally, okay, I got to follow through with what I said. Patience is a divine attribute. And our soul needs to be patient as we wait upon Him. And finally, our soul search does end. Verse 26, it is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. If we work on our desire and our love for God, if we love and desire with expectancy, if we trust Him and patiently wait for the hope of righteousness that Paul talked about, if we find that our search ends because we have found God, and we have found Him through His Son, Jesus Christ, and not only have we found Him, we've allowed Him to find us. Sometimes we forget that. God, through Jesus, is coming for us. He's pursuing us. Remember the father in the prodigal son story? When he saw that prodigal son coming up that long road, driveway, whatever it was, he saw in the distance and he knew that was the son who had left. Scripture says the father took off running. He didn't just sit there and wait for the son to finally show up. When God sees you coming to Him in the distance, He comes running. And our soul search is ending when we find Him through His Son, Jesus Christ. The gold buzzer contestant that I told you about from America's Got Talent. She's 30 years old. Her name is Jane Mark, I'm probably messing this up. Markowski. But she chose her stage name, Nightbird, after she had two similar dreams and then an actual event that happened. And that event is described in this way. The birds were singing as if it was morning, but there was really no sign of light. And I wanted to embody that, being somebody that could sing through a dark time because I was so full of hope and assurance that there would be a morning. The writer of Lamentations in our scripture today says, God's compassion never fails. His mercies never cease. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. We sang about that today. I like the way the New Living Translation shares it. Great is His faithfulness. His mercies begin afresh each morning. Is your hope in Him? Are you seeking Him afresh?
each day?
We have been seeking Jesus in each book of the Bible as we started back in January. And today is no different. Jesus is in Lamentations. Shall we pray? Father God, we thank you for these laments. But we thank you that right in the middle, Jeremiah or whoever this author was, Father, he reminded us of who you were and who you are and who you will always be. Father, may our soul desire after you. May we expect great things in our relationship with you. May we be patient with you. And Father, thank you that our soul's search ends at the cross of Calvary. As we also look at the empty tomb. And everything our soul needs comes through Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. It's in his precious name we pray. Amen.